Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio, this is St. Louis on the Air. I'm Alex Hoyer. Missouri school districts began this school year with a new state law in place that restricts the use of cell phones during the school day. St. Louis Public Radio education reporter Hiba Ahmed is now here to tell us more. Hiba, welcome back to the program.
Hello. Good to be here.
Broadly speaking, cell phone use during the school day is restricted in Missouri now. Mm-hmm. What does the state law require?
Yeah, so this is a cell phone restriction. It also goes out to, you know, Bluetooth headphones, smartwatches, so think about an Apple Watch, and other, you know, kind of personal devices for students. And it's basically any way that students can communicate with each other. And it's a bell-to-bell ban, so students are asked to tuck them away as soon as the morning bell happens, and they're allowed to pull them out after the school day ends. There's some carve-outs for exceptions. That includes, you know, in case of an emergency, of course, if students have a medical need. So let's say they have reminders on their phones to maybe take a medication or something. And then they have another exception for students who have individual education plans or IEPs. So if they use their phones to support them in their learning. So that's the broad strokes. And then, of course, part of the law also requires that school districts adopt the policy, implement it, but also have some measures in place for discipline in case students, you know, are not following the rules.
You mentioned an Apple Watch. Are students not allowed to wear an Apple Watch?
No, so that's a little bit of flexibility that's there in the law, that some school districts will allow students to keep their Apple Watches on them, use them for like timekeeping purposes, maybe to check for their steps or something like that, but really not using them to text each other, their classmates and such. Yeah.
So you said it's up to the school district. So how much flexibility is there in terms of how Missouri school districts enact the state law?
Sure. So the flexibility is really there for how students are asked to store their phones. So in the case of Rockwood School District, they will store their phones in their backpacks. And an interesting point, I think, that Superintendent Curtis Kane made about that was that, you know, he still wanted to respect, you know, the space and the property, I think, of the students, to kind of be like, hey, look, you do have a little bit of agency. We still want you to have your phones in case of an emergency. And of course, some of those exceptions, but we do want it out of sight, out of mind. And then there is some flexibility of, on the point of storage, some school districts, for example, in Ferguson Florissant School District, they have used those Yonder pouches, which are those magnetic pouches that students can tuck their phones into, and they lock at the start of the school day and reopen at the end. That policy has kind of had some mixed reviews here and there because students have found ways to open up the pouches.
You don't say.
Yes. But and then there's also some flexibility about discipline, right? And we can talk a little bit more about how the school district is navigating that.
Now, enacting these new rules, Missouri joined more than 30 states implementing some kind of cell phone restrictions in schools. Mm-hmm. A bill failed to pass in the Illinois legislature this past session, but it's likely to come up again. Yeah. Hiba, broadly speaking, what is going on at schools to bring about this national push for restrictions?
Yeah, so a lot of this has happened after the COVID-19 pandemic, right? Teachers really have been the driving voices behind, you know, trying to implement some sort of restrictions around these personal devices. And the reason is that teachers found that it was kind of interrupting their time in class, constantly asking students to tuck away their phones or pull out their AirPods or pay more attention to what she or he are talking about rather than looking at their Apple Watches, right? So it's kind of battling for attention. And then it's also just there have been some behavioral problems in terms of students maybe seeing some posts online on social media and then that maybe carrying over into a fight or an argument at school.
Your story that was published on Monday points out that sometimes people would see a post on social media and then minutes later there would be a fight that broke out, for example.
Absolutely. I mean, there have also been reports from schools that say that, you know, if a fight does break out, students will rush to kind of capture the moment on their phones, record it, and then post it on social media later. So it's this kind of cycle that, you know, school administrators and teachers are trying to disrupt here. And then, of course, I do want to mention that there are some concerns around mental health, right? And students maybe being distracted, having a difficult time focusing, and just trying to disrupt that difficult relationship that, you know, we know that teens have sometimes with social media.
Sure. There seems to be a lot of both public and bipartisan political support for restrictions.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of one of the rare education policies that we've seen in recent years that has enjoyed bipartisan support.
And perhaps welcome for you as an education reporter.
Yes.
So your story I mentioned was published this Monday, and you decided to tell this story and center Rockwood Summit High School in Fenton. Why Rockwood Summit?
Yeah, so Rockwood Summit is, I chose them because they have a great journalism program. And I was also really curious because the school district had implemented a pilot policy last school year where they had some restrictions in place, meaning that students were allowed to have their phones out during passing period and during lunch, but not during instructional time unless the teacher allowed it, right? So some teachers do rely on cell phones maybe to, you know, supplement learning. I've heard from a science teacher who talked about data entry and other, you know, language teachers using the phones for helping them in Spanish class or recording students, you know, doing conversations and such. So all of that is now gone. It is true that no more cell phones bell to bell. So that's what kind of drew me to Rockwood.
Sure. And you mentioned that Rockwood Summit has a good journalism program.
Yeah.
And now I'm pleased to welcome two of those student journalists to the show. They are Rockwood Summit juniors, Amanda Mertens and Emery Gregston. Welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So a state law is one thing. HIBAA talked about what the state law restricting cell phone use requires. How has enacting that law played out at your school? I'll start with you, Amanda.
I think it's kind of changed over the course of the past couple weeks. You know, when it started, there was a lot of complaints, a lot of students kind of having like mixed opinions on it. But I think as it's like progressed with this policy, people are kind of starting to adjust to it. And we've heard, like I said, about mixed reviews. We've had some people say that they really like it and some people say that they really didn't. And it's just really interesting to see how students are interacting now at school because there's so many more like social conversations and stuff like that.
You said that there were some complaints. What kinds of complaints were people saying beyond that, just that they didn't have access? Like, were there complaints about the policy itself?
Yes, it was mainly that it was restricted during passing period, ACT Lab, and lunch. Students like felt like, including myself, feel like that there's no need to restrict the phones for things that aren't instructional time.
Oh, I see. And Emery, the students that you've talked with, what have they said in terms of those who have liked it, what they like about the policy?
I think a lot of students have noticed their focus and those around them not being as distracted. For me as a student, even when I'm sitting next to someone on their phone, I struggle. Like, I'm always like, oh, side eye, like looking at their phone. But now without the phones, I feel like a lot of students have seen I'm actually paying attention in class and I'm able to retain the information more. I heard a lot of I'm able to remember the information even that I learned 3 weeks ago at the beginning of the school year, and I'm still recalling this information.
Do you think the rollout of this new rule was easier given what HIBAA was talking about earlier, that there was a pilot that happened last year?
I really do. So my freshman year, I was on my phone very frequently. It was a very normal thing. And then last year we were like, okay, let's get used to not being on our phones, keep them in our backpacks, just making sure that we're very much paying attention. But then this year, just completely getting rid of them. I do think a lot of students like longed for their phone, but I think it was an easier transition given the pilot policy from Rockwood that we were able to come into this school year already having some experience without our phones.
And you mentioned giving students yourself, giving them a bit of side eye when you see them. Like, are they just like pulling it out of their backpack and like looking down and like checking their phone,
yes,
maybe sending a text or something?
Yes, a lot of games, a lot of texting. It just is distracting to be sitting next to someone and like their bright light is coming up right in your peripherals.
Yeah. HIBAA hinted at discipline earlier. What is the discipline if students get caught? Amanda?
I don't know the exact rules, but I believe that you get now tardies based on it, or is that?
I believe it's if you, a teacher has their sees your phone, they can take it, send it to the office, and you're allowed to be sent to like principal discipline.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's it.
And we also eliminated lunch detentions. So now teachers, one phone, they see it's automatic after school detention.
Yeah.
Hiba, you talked with both teachers and administrators. What have they said about discipline?
Yeah, so Superintendent Kane and Rockwood Summit Principal Emily McCown both have said that they've seen pretty minimal referrals trickle in. It shows that the students are really following the policy, and they accredit it to that pilot policy from last year. But yeah, I mean, the process is that it's you know, the teachers will give a reminder at the start of class, being like, hey guys, tuck away your phones. And that is the warning. And then if students pull it out without permission, you know, they are, you know, the teachers are allowed to take their phones and maybe send a referral to the principal. And then, you know, the principal will have a conversation and it'll kind of escalate from there. But overall, it's been pretty minimal referrals. Principal McCown did say that she's will be interested to see how it carries on throughout the school year. Setting the tone at the start of the school year, right, guys, is that like students will follow and then we'll see how it goes as the school year carries on.
Yeah. And Amanda, you said that there have been some changes just in the last couple of weeks. I mean, we're only a few weeks still into the new school year. When you think about maybe when you come back to school in January, what's your sense of whether students might be really settled into a pattern, or do you still anticipate that there might be some conflict?
I'm sure there will still be some conflict, but I bet that as we get like more and more into this, people are going to get more settled in and more adjusted to it. And I think there'll be less complaints, less like pressure to get on your phone. Like, especially for me, it was more of like a pressure, like I have to check my phone. And now that everyone doesn't have to do that, there's kind of like less of a weight on my shoulder, and I'm able to just kind of chill out and get through class. So I feel like without having the pressure of the like pressure to check your phone, it's a lot more relaxed.
Mm-hmm. My son goes to school and he has a Chromebook, and I understand that also Rockwood Summit High School students have Chromebooks too. What prevents students from just communicating using their laptops, or does that not happen, Emery?
Not much does prevent students from using their Chromebooks to communicate. I think the biggest thing that would prevent a student is it's a lot more obvious to communicate through a Chromebook. Like, it's a big computer sitting on your desk, and teachers can obviously just say, like, close your Chromebook. But if it's a phone, it's less visible to the teacher, especially if you're in the back of class and it's low. But with a Chromebook, I think the only thing preventing is just the visibility to teachers.
And it sounds like if you had access to your phone, you're probably checking social media, but you might not be doing that as much on the Chromebook, Amanda?
Yeah, like on the Chromebooks, you cannot check social media because a lot of the things are restricted, especially for Rockwood School District.
Oh, they're blocked by the school.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of the restriction there. But with your phone, there's so many things you can check. With your Chromebook, it's more just like, I see mostly for me and for people I talk to, it's more just emailing your friends. That's kind of been a big way of communicating. But like Emery had stated, like, it's really easy for teachers to see you on the big Chromebook and then just say, okay, turn your Chromebook off.
Both Amanda and Emery, you had the chance to talk with your fellow students, doing the thing that journalists do and talking with people. Let's hear what some of the students told you. This is audio that both of you recorded.
I really do not like the new policy.
Face-to-face conversations have improved with this new policy.
Yeah, I think everyone is a little bit more focused in class.
So we talked about focus and more conversations. Tell me more about like the face-to-face conversations, Emery.
I would say I really do see a lot more people talking in the hallways. In previous years, you walk through the hallways, it's not overly loud. There's a lot of just eyes glued to your phone. But now, like, as you can see on the online story with the photos, you see students just talking to each other and actually interacting as they move from class to class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amanda, anything to add to that?
I would say the exact same thing. Like, face-to-face conversations have become a lot more, like, implemented. And I think it's just because a lot of people get, like, socially awkward, and then there's, like, a pressure just to get on your phone to avoid the awkwardness of, like, eye-to-eye conversations. And so without having that, there's just been more face-to-face conversations.
I remember when I was in high school, and I went to high school at a time when cell phones first started to make their appearance. And I distinctly remember the first time I ever saw a cell phone at school. It was the year 2002. I was going to Belleville East High School. It was after school. We were in the Performing Arts Center, and it was dark. The stage was lit up, and toward the front of the stage, we start to see just a bunch of students like huddling around, and I go over there and I'm like, what is going on? And there was a student who had a Nokia phone, and they were playing that classic snake game. And so that, like, that's a very vivid memory of what it was like to have the technology. And by the time I graduated, still there weren't many cell phones in schools. And I was thinking about, like, you can get through fine. We got through fine without phones, but it's harder to adjust, I think, when you've been able to do something and then that gets taken away. We heard a little bit about in that audio that we played about that, but what about this having it and that having it taken away? I would think that there may be still some hurt feelings about that, Amanda.
Yeah, definitely. Like, kind of like you said, like, it was different for, like, your generation where you just have it, like, you get it, like, you didn't have it before, but now it's there. It's a little different for us where we grew up with the cell phones, and then it's taken away, so it's just different from what we're used to, and that's kind of a conflict there.
Yeah. Emery?
Yeah, I would say we've all gotten used to using our phones as a resource to take photos of assignments, make to-do lists. I know I always kept my to-do list on my phone, and I've had to completely change.
So how?
I used the Notes app on my phone previously, and now I use Google Keep. So I have it on my computer and on my phone. Hmm. So it just is like there's a lot of changes that are happening, and I think students are adapting, but I really do think it's going to take a couple of years to fully, like, this is the new norm. I can't just pull out my phone to take a picture of what the teacher wants me to do.
Yeah, because I think when I go to a conference or something, and, like, I'll take a picture of the whiteboard just so that I can refer to it if I want to, and you can't do that now. What are some other ways in which people were legitimately using their phones for school time, but having the need to find another way to do things in the way that Emery, you just talked about making a list. What about that, Amanda?
So I think a lot of people are now just using their Chromebooks to, like, take pictures, especially in, like, in newspaper and radio, we have to use an iPad in order to get interviews and stuff, because we used to use voice memos on our phones, and now that we can't do that anymore, we've just adapted to either using Chromebooks or using iPads or, like, physical recorders that we had even for the interviews that we did with you guys. And then another thing would be, like, I would like taking pictures of assignments or even using PhotoMath to look at some math problems, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Education has completely changed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
I remember not being able to communicate with cell phones, but we would pass notes in the hallways between classes. Like, are we going old school now with, like, passing notes between passing, like, during passing periods?
I definitely see some notes during class. I don't know if I can say I've seen one during passing period, but I've definitely seen some scribble on the notebook, pass it to your friends. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, like, folded up yet, but
yeah,
we're getting there.
Well, and there are very specific ways you can fold notes too. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that if that skill exists anymore. Maybe it's been passed down by Gen Xers and millennials.
Yeah. Well, one creative way that I saw a TikTok about this, and I asked some of the teachers at Rockwood Summit about this, which is students will sometimes pull up a Google Doc and invite all of their classmates to it and then be typing in the Google Doc because you can see it in real time. And I'm like, oh, so you guys brought back IM, which is instant messenger from my time. So,
well, and when I was in college, we would have a Google Doc and we'd just write in the Google Doc. Everybody would have their color and go to town.
Exactly.
So I just want to give Amanda and Emery kudos to student journalists, because you really are the future of journalism. So thank you for helping St. Louis Public Radio out with this. Mm-hmm. What was it like to get approached to help a news organization that wasn't a student news organization? Amanda?
It was really cool, actually, because it's one thing to have your own publication in a high school, which I don't think many high schools can say they do, but it's another to get, like, requested by a real radio station and a big one such as NPR and SDLPR. and it was just a whole different aspect, and I felt like a professional with my boom mic talking to students. It was super cool.
Yeah, people paid attention to you a little bit differently with a mic like that. And what about you, Emery?
Yeah, it was definitely like a very, very cool experience. I was over the moon when I knew that you guys had recruited us to talk to students in our school. And like as someone who wants to go into journalism, being able to like experience it and see the different things that go into it and how many people work behind the scenes to get your newspaper on your front step in the mornings and turn the radio on to listen to NPR. So yeah, it was very cool.
What are some other stories that maybe you've reported on that you're particularly proud of, or what are some current stories that you're following now that you're really interested in, Amanda?
So in the radio, we focus a lot on sports, and right now we're focusing on the volleyball team, and it's really cool because last year the volleyball team didn't have as cool as a record, and now they like incredibly improved, and it's just interesting. Like now we have to get interviews and see how that record has changed, and like they have a new coach and everything, and it's just, yeah.
What's the difference between how the team was doing to how it's doing now?
I believe they had a losing record last year, and this year they have, I believe it's 24-8-1 as their record.
What do you attribute the improvement to?
I believe it's their new coach. I think they lost a coach last year, and then they gained a new one, and I believe she's done incredible.
That's great.
Emery, what about you? A story that you're particularly proud of or something that you're following now?
So currently I'm working with Rockwood to create a story on Proposition S, which will be on the November 4th ballot for local elections. And I'm just like, it's very cool for me. Government voting stuff has always been interesting for me. So being able to work with like how voting's working and what the campaign for Proposition S is looking like, it's just something that I think is very cool. And I'm very proud of it.
Well, thank you for your work, and I would just remind both of you that we do have internships at St. Louis Public Radio.
Yes.
Emery Gregston and Amanda Mertens are juniors and student journalists at Rockwood Summit High School in Fenton. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for having us.
And Hiba Ahmed is STLPR's education reporter. Thank you as well.
Thank you.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.